Good morning, everybody. This is Dr. Deb from Let's Talk Wellness Live. Now, I am super excited today. I have an amazing guest for you guys. I want to welcome to our show Reverend Tom Iannello. Dr. Tom is a chiropractor from New York who has been in private practice since 1993. He's the owner of New York Health Center in Northside Wellness. He is a clinical master, clinical nutritional response practitioner. In 2014, he became certified in instinctive-based medicine, which is a system that allows us to address our deeply rooted illnesses or problems. This is an amazing practice. If anybody hasn't experienced it, you really want to experience this. He learned from an amazing mentor, Leonard Codwell, who is a leading alternative cancer practitioner in Germany for over 40 years. In 2017, Dr. Tom published Happily Ever Now, a self-empowered guide to today's overstressed women. Okay, guys, we all know we're overstressed, so this is really important. This is going to be a great talk today. Along with that, he created a CD series on the history of vaccines and the connection to cancer and AIDS. Happily Ever Now is now an audio guide that you can get if you're interested. And in 2018, Dr. Iannello expanded his studies into the field of theology and joined the health ministry and became an ordained priest of the Orthodox Catholic Church. We are so happy to have you here, Dr. Tom. I can't tell you how glad we are to be able to do this. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dr. Deb. Nice to see you too.
Nice to see you. So today we're going to focus on our talking about some of the things that you do in your practice. Tell me what led you to become so passionate about helping women.
Sure. So as a young chiropractic intern back in around 1991, 1992, my then fiance and I were wanting to have children once we married. Turned out that my wife had not had a menstrual cycle since the age of 16 without the use of birth control. So she was now around 26, and we were discussing having kids as soon as we married. Mm-hmm. And I said, you need to go off the birth control so we can see when you ovulate, and then we can plan a family. So she goes off the birth control and gets no cycle. Zero cycle, just completely gone. So I said, well, this is not good because, number one, we don't know what's going to happen with your ovulation, and we also don't know what's going to happen with your health. You know, as you know, when a woman doesn't menstruate appropriately, the progesterone lining builds up. It can lead to endometriosis, infertility, scarring, uterine issues, and what have you. So being a good husband, I support her in how she wants to approach it. So she goes the medical route. And we end up literally through three different medical physicians. Over the next, excuse me, like 6 months to a year. And it's funny, you start off with the local guy and then you start working your way to the specialist. So for New Yorkers, you start out on the island and then you end up in Manhattan. So the last doctor we spoke with was a Park Avenue physician, very well to do. It took us 3 months to get the appointment. Nadine goes into his office. He looks at all her records, all her blood work, CAT scans. We had run about $3,000 worth of lab work. And the diagnosis was idiopathic infertility. No reason as to why. This last doctor says, okay, he looks at my wife's arms. She's in a gown. He says, you need to just adopt. You can't have children. You don't have the proper hormones. My suggestion is you just adopt. I wasn't in the room. My wife comes running out of the room, past me to the elevator bank, down to the street, and now we're driving back to our apartment, and she's literally hyperventilating and crying, we can't have kids. I said, listen, honey, what's the problem? I mean, do you have a disease? Do you have blocked fallopian tubes? Are you missing? She's like, no, my anatomy's normal. I said, well, if your anatomy's normal and you don't have a disease, you're talking about a functional problem, not a pathological problem. So I'm trying to explain this to her, and she's just not hearing me, you know, because she's in anguish.
Right.
So we get home, and as we're discussing it further, I'm looking at her pacing back and forth in our den, and I'm looking at her spine, you know, and all of a sudden it dawns on me that she actually has a very increased lumbar curvature. And as a chiropractor, I know that the nerves that come out of the lumbar spine go up the spinal cord to the pituitary and hypothalamus, create that bridge from the endocrine to the physical system, and then the body knows to ovulate. So it dawned on me at that moment that this was probably a structural problem and that she probably needed chiropractic. She was a gymnast her whole life, so she hyperextended her back all her life. So as this epiphany dawns on me, right, Doc, I look at her and I explain this to her. And I said, honey, I just realized what's wrong with you. You have, you know, pinched nerves, you need to get adjusted, and then we can solve the problem. And she looks at me and she goes, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. This is not a chiropractic problem. You're not going to be super chiro man and save the world. As I said, honey, fine. So I realized she wouldn't listen to me. So I took her to one of my professors from school who was a second generation female chiropractor in Brooklyn. And Nadine had a commute from Long Island into Manhattan to go to work. And then at night, she'd get off the train from Manhattan into Brooklyn, go get adjusted. When she met the doctor, she loved her. Doctor took an x-ray and saw the pinched nerves. Wow. And long story shortened, Nadine got adjusted for 10 full weeks, three times a week. And in 10 weeks, she was pregnant. So we went from infertility to pregnant in 10 weeks, all during the time of getting married, going through our whole 9 yards, it all happened.
Yeah.
So that was our miracle. Now, meanwhile, I'm an intern in chiropractic. I'm not even a chiropractor yet. Yeah. So I have this epiphany, Doc, and I realized that my own profession didn't guide me, because I was telling all the clinicians about this in chiropractic college. I'm talking to all the medical doctors, explaining it to them. They're not getting it either. And all they wanted to do was look for a disease. So at a very early age, before I was even a doctor, I realized that women were getting improper attention and guidance to help with infertility issues. And I saw what it did to my own wife. It destroyed her.
Sure.
And being the husband of the wife, I was destroyed because I was so destroyed. I didn't know what to do for her. So I ended up learning everything about women's hormones almost 30 years ago. And I'll tell you, it was a blessing, because I have helped literally tens of thousands of women in my 28 year career. And it's funny, you never know how the universe is going to pull you in a direction. Mm-hmm. It just pulled me there. And it seemed like a natural fit, because after experiencing the joy of helping my own family have children, and by the way, we have three children now, all healthy.
Great.
None of them were vaccinated, no drugs. I mean, we're like that poster family for the naturopathic world. You know, we did none of that stuff. And now, you know, fast forward, my kids are 26, 25, and 16. And we solved that problem using just pure chiropractic at that time. But then going forward, I started looking at women's hormones, hormonal balance, adrenal balance, underlying infection. I was running functional medicine laboratory, which I'm sure you do all the time in your practice. I was doing that back in the 90s. I was doing saliva tests in women in 1997 when nobody was doing it. Sure. I was being called a quack in my neighborhood, you know, all those years ago. I would show up at seminars on the West Coast. I'd be the only New Yorker in the room. They go like, what are you doing here? I said, what do you mean what I'm doing here? They said, you're from New York? I'm like, yeah. They said, New Yorkers don't understand this stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, we do. Some of us do. So it kind of like evolved over all these years, Deb, and it went in this direction. So that's why I'm always talking about this subject.
That is such an incredible, amazing story. And, you know, I hear this story a lot too from young women. They go off the pill and they don't have a period, and it's 2-3 years before they get a cycle, and they go through the $1 million fertility workup, which is, you know, $20,000 these days now.
Yep.
And they don't have an answer. It's interesting, because I started my career in infertility. So I worked in an infertility clinic, and that's where I got started training and seeing the same type of thing. And, you know, women after women after women would come in and no reason why they couldn't get pregnant, and you work with them and try, and they adopt, and then all of a sudden they get pregnant again and things start working. But nobody in that conventional world looks at all of these other pieces, their adrenal glands, their adjustments, their alignment, their spine, their stress. We never looked at any of those things. We just solely looked at hormones and structure. Did you have a blockage? Did you have this? Can we inseminate you? Can we do IVF? What can we do? But nobody took into consideration all those other spiritual and physical things from that aspect. What's been your experience in that conventional medicine versus what we call our alternative medicine, which really should be our mainstream medicine, but we look at that differently. Talk a little bit about what you've experienced with that.
Yeah, so my experience with conventional medicine is kind of like the analogy of ready, fire, and then aim. Yeah. It's backwards. Mm-hmm. So like you said, they just kind of look for what can we patch and fix and then send them on their way. And then using a synthetic method of insemination or forcing women into a pre-ovulatory spike with estrogen therapy or Lupron, those terribly painful shots, I experienced that. Here's what I've evolved into over time. There's always a core reason why a woman is having a rough time. And one of the things I had to overcome myself was my chiropractic training to think that everything would be physical and that adjustments would solve every problem. Mm-hmm. So I've had to evolve as a practitioner myself to think a little bigger than just my training. And that's what ended up happening, because I kept having conversations with women that, you know, they had the same structural alignment that my wife had. I would adjust them, but they wouldn't get pregnant. It should have worked. Yes. So I was taught if you take away nerve pressure, it goes away. Then we started running those women that wouldn't get pregnant structurally. We started running them through, let's run their labs. And we'd run their labs and we would look at their hormones. Well, geez, their hormones are balanced. Their estrogen and progesterone levels in the right levels, and yet they're not getting, what's going on? They weren't getting pregnant anyway. So we kept going deeper. And then we started looking at adrenals. And when we got to the level of the adrenals, that would sometimes open up a new caveat, because when a woman goes to an OBGYN, it's all about female hormones.
Right.
They don't talk endocrinology. There's no discussion of the fact that the adrenals regulate the female hormones. And I started realizing that, oh my gosh, these poor girls in their early 20s are burning out their adrenals, college lifestyle, fast food, parting with their friends, improper diet, just, you know, and you can fudge it in the beginning because you have a lot of human growth hormone and you can get away with a lot of stuff in your 20s and 30s, right?
Right.
And you get to your 40s and 50s and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I can't rebound like I used to anymore. I used to be able to go out all night, get up and just go to work and be fine. Now I'm feeling it. So that stress on the adrenal system that I was finding started younger would completely fail them by the time they were in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. And now their female systems were crapping out on them. And they were thinking the answer was just hormones, but it turned out their adrenals were shot, which are completely different sets of hormones.
Yeah.
So that evolved into the adrenal saliva testing, cortisol, DHEA, looking at the balance of one to the other and how it segues into progesterone and estrogen and all the women's hormones. So now I'm fixing all these ladies' hormones in the 90s with saliva testing, plant-based progesterone, no drugs, everything from the earth, everything from nature. Should gel with a naturopath, right? That should make sense to you, because that's the way to go. And that's a good method, right? I mean, I'm sure that you got hundreds of women pregnant using just that method.
Exactly.
And I did too. But here's what happened. This is when I started getting amazingly inquisitive. I was fixing all that stuff and they still weren't getting pregnant. And I'm like, why won't these women get pregnant? Mm-hmm. So then I started interviewing the women that would not get pregnant on hormonal balance, adrenal balance, and structural balance. And I just started saying, could you just tell me about your life? I need to know more about who you are, what you think. And I started seeing trends, and these were the trends. The trends were that these poor ladies were so overwhelmed with life that everybody robbed them of their energy from day to day. Their husbands, their children, their parents, their church, their community, their schools. And these women, and I call them superwomen, because I get the vision of Wonder Woman in a cape when I think of most of the women I talk to.
Absolutely.
These women can literally hold up the world like Charles Atlas. They can literally balance and juggle so much that I'm amazed at what women are capable of. Like, I feel that women are my hero because women do everything. And I would interview them, and you gotta love women for the fact that they just do not know how to turn their backs on people. They're such innate nurturers. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a woman, so I don't understand, because I'm a guy and I'm a hunter and a gatherer, right?
Yep.
But I can definitely empathize with the love that women express to humanity and their children. So what would happen is these women were so obsessed, and I call it obsession, with helping their families, that they were always last, never first. And this happened for so many decades that I finally coined the term the Mother Teresa syndrome. That's what you ladies tend to do to yourselves. You're such awesome people, but you are sacrificing like a martyr yourselves to be everything to everybody, but nothing to yourselves. These were the women that wouldn't get pregnant because they were so stressed, Doc, that I couldn't overcome the emotional and spiritual breakage in them with the best of hormones, the best of saliva testing, and the best of chiropractic. So what I've learned, and that's why I study theology, because I'm like, wait a minute, that means the answers are within us.
Right.
So now I have to understand this wearing a different hat from being just a medical professional. I need to think of this as a human being. And I started really trying to put myself in the place of a woman, loving her children, her family, her husband, and everybody else, and saying, well, how can we make it so everybody wins?
Yeah.
And that's when I decided to help women on a different level. And I created a manuscript and a way for them to go inside themselves and find out where they were stopping themselves. So if you go in and confront the stop that you haven't fixed that, that's the way out. And then all of a sudden, forget about fertility. Everything heals. Everything. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's a hangnail. I don't care if you're just anxious or in a lousy mood or you don't love your husband anymore and you don't know why. You know, like what I like about what you do is very important to have healthy sexuality and a great healthy sex life, even if you're a woman of power.
Right.
Because now you have these women wearing the hats of, forget about being a nurturer. Now you're a top executive with a whole bunch of people you got to nurture at the office.
Yeah.
So it's like, holy cow. Now you took it to like this huge level. And I'm like, oh my God, they're taking on even more now. And I watched this evolve over 25 years because women are just killing it in the business world, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good because you have so much to offer because I prefer to work with women over men also, by the way. I like work. I think women are more no-nonsense. They don't play around. They want to get the job done.
Yep.
They're decision makers. They love their kids and they just want to get it fixed. Men dance, they avoid, they procrastinate, they make excuses, they complain. They're like a bunch of babies. And no offense, guys, but I'm sorry. I get tired of having to spoon feed these guys. And I'm sure that women would agree with me when I talk to them.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, you marry a man to be your partner, not to be your child. And I'm sorry, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but I hear more often than not that women feel like they have kids in their husbands and not partners.
That is so true. We hear the same thing.
Okay, so it's not just me.
No, it's not just you. We hear the same thing from women that they don't feel like they're in an equal relationship. And so I've been practicing not quite as long as you, but pretty close, about 23 years. And I've always been amazed over the years of my most chronically ill patients that no matter what you do, nothing helps. And then they leave their relationship. Whether it's a female-female or a male-female, whatever it is, but they leave an unhealthy relationship. And within 6 months, they're completely normal again. And they never realized that all of those unhealthy relationship things they had were internalizing to make them sick. And they come back like a brand new woman. And it's amazing to me. The part that I'm so dissatisfied with when I see that is they never fixed the reason they got there to begin with. So 2 years down the road in a new relationship, they're almost right back where they were before they left the first relationship.
Right. So unfortunately, yeah, you're right. So if we don't grow and learn from our experiences, then we repeat them because we dial them right back in again.
Exactly. We just find the same person we had and it's good for a while because, you know, new relationships are fun and they're exciting and it takes a while to get us all lazy in our habits. But a couple of years later, they'll be in that same position. And
yeah, so after that honeymoon effect disappears and the reality of sitting with somebody and paying mortgages from month to month and dealing with the stress, and then it's hard to keep the relationship fresh and vibrant unless both couples are engaged and growing proportionally.
Exactly.
That's a huge factor in healing. See, that's what I think is important. So taking your point about not handling the underlying cause and repeating it again if you don't handle it, I took the time to write out all the underlying causes that I was told were the causes from the ladies I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's voluminous, Doc. It's a lot of things.
I bet.
But you know something? When you scan through these different pages in the workbook and you hit on your thing, you know. And you go there and you go, wait a minute, that's me. I have that issue. And when you hit it, you know it. And the way out is the way in. You must go after the things that are difficult and confront your demon so that you could beat your demon and come out on the back end free, completely free all the way around. So then the next relationship or the next situation will not attract in the broken thing that got you screwed up in the first place. So, you know, we are forced to personally develop and grow in order to heal. That's what I'm finding.
Exactly.
And if we don't, like you said, if we don't, then we're destined to repeat the same clandestine relationships that beat us up, relationship, and even in our children and in our parents. And everybody ends up bringing us the same crap because we're not learning how to grow from the inside out and fix ourselves.
Yeah.
This is what I've experienced.
Yeah. And it is very true. I mean, women of today are very different than I'll use my mother-in-law as an example, because my mom was different. My mom worked her whole life, but my mother-in-law stayed home and took care of her children. And that's all she wanted to do in life, was be a mom. That was her thing. She loved it. She had no desire to do anything except be a mom and be a wife. And yes, of course, that comes with major stressors. She had four children, all under the age of five, with a set of twins. So she was a very busy woman, crazy stuff, you know. You fast forward to today, and now we have moms that have four children. They're managing their schedules. They're working a full-time plus job, usually. They're still taking care of the household. You have some partners that assist in that, but in my practice, it's probably similar to yours. Most don't. So they've got the household they're running. They've got, now they've taken on the finances of the house on top of the housework stuff, managing the kids' schedule, managing the spouse's schedule, managing their work schedule, and then volunteering, and then taking on more and more and more and more. And there is no time for that woman to have quiet time in their brain for themselves, because they're just constantly on autopilot, which is where we talked earlier. That's where the adrenal fatigue comes from. You know, if you don't get it when you're burning the candle as a college student, you're going to get it when you're that 30, 40 year old mom that's doing all these other things. And we somehow, I think from a social aspect, need to, this is where in my world, we need to balance that masculine and feminine side. And as women today, we have to learn to ask for help. We don't ask for help anymore. We take on the world. And we feel guilty about asking for somebody to help us, because if we have to ask for help, we're inferior. We can't do it all. And I'm not sure where that came from. I'm not sure if that came from society. I'm not sure if that came from the feminist movement of I can do it all. But now we're stuck in this limbo of shit, I can't do it all, but I don't know how to ask for help either.
Yeah, I think all those things are true.
Yeah.
I think our species of men and women is evolving on this planet.
Yes.
And life is evolving around us. And absolutely, you and I are old enough to look back a generation and remember being our parents' ages.
Yeah.
And watching them, they were different people. You're right.
They were.
You know, and I'm Italian, right? So in the Italian world, you know, the woman was home with the kids. Mm-hmm. And the husband went to work. But in my family, my mom went to work too. Yep. You know, we were a two-income family, middle-class family from New York. So mm-hmm. it was not the traditional way. And yet my parents came from that traditional way.
Yep.
So every once in a while, I would watch them butt heads mm-hmm. over the tradition. And then other times I'd watch them change over what was evolving. And it's funny because it happened with my wife and I too, because I watched my parents and I learned from them. And, you know, I like to think of myself as a masculine guy, you know, like I'm a man all the way through. Mm-hmm. And I always had a desire to take care of my family and my wife so that my wife didn't have to worry about those things. Mm-hmm. And my wife did that for a number of years, but my wife wasn't happy with that. She wanted to have her own thing. Mm-hmm. So I would say, okay, whatever it is that you want to do, sweetie, I want you to do it. Just tell me what I need to do to support you. So my wife ended up building her own business and she loves it and she's very good at it. And I support her and she supports me. And yet it's funny, over the years now, my wife, as she's gotten older, wants to spend more time at home. So now she's embracing what we fought about 20 years ago. That now she was, I'm like, I can't keep up with you, honey. You started one way, went another way. Now you're going back there. Now I have to follow you back. But now you have this thing you created. Now we have to run two things. Yeah. So it's just, it's kind of ironic how things could work out when you just work with each other.
It really is.
One thing I need to learn as a man is that, and this is in my book, there are no rules.
Yeah.
There's no recipe. It's your recipe and your husband's, and it's my recipe and my wife's. And that's how it is. And it's a different recipe for every couple. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. And, you know, listening to you talk about how your family grew up, I think that's a lot where it comes from. You know, we get our views of what marriage or relationship should be like because of watching our parents. And so those people who don't know me as well, and you probably know this from me already, but I was the rebel child, you know? So I was the one going, what? You know, and I would watch my mom wait on my dad. I mean, literally, he would sit in his chair with his feet up watching TV, and she would bring him a cup of coffee, or she would bring him a donut, or he'd sit in the chair and she'd be doing dishes and he'd say, hey, the dog needs to go out. I mean, he did nothing. He was a pampered man. And I remember being about 16 and I looked at my mom and I said, what the hell, Ma? Help me get him off his ass and do something. And my mom looked at me and she's like, this was what I married. In my generation, you get what you marry, you don't change it. These are the rules, and you just live with it. And I thought, that's freaking nuts. Okay, I am never having that kind of marriage. Forget it. I'm not waiting on anybody hand and foot that can get up and do something. And my mom and I, you know, my mom just didn't understand where I was coming from. I didn't quite understand where she was coming from. But it's interesting. My dad passed away very young. He was only 63 when he passed away. And I said to my mom, well, Mom, you know, you're really young. Do you want to find somebody to go do stuff with? And she's like, are you out of your cotton picking mind? She's like, I did that once. I'm not being anybody's maid or slave ever again. And I was like, oh my gosh. You know, when I was young, she said, this is the way it is. You accept it. But now that he's gone, she's like, oh, hell no, I'm not ever doing that again. And it was
Mom learned.
Wow. And I feel, in many ways, I felt sad for her because I thought, you don't have that joy of understanding what an equal relationship could be like. You only understand, in my opinion, an unequal negative relationship. And they loved each other, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't an equal relationship. And learning about relationships and sexuality and all that I know now, I have to wonder, you know, what was their sexuality life like? Because when you're unequal like that, it's very hard to have a healthy, playful, fun sexual relationship. And that can breed its own other problems too, as I'm sure you've heard from other women too when you've interviewed them.
Oh, sure. All the time. I mean, it's funny where you talk to people that are transitioning, let's say, from their early 30s over 20 years into their 50s. So I've watched couples over 20 years evolve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're in your 30s, you're definitely more in a playful zone. Your kids are younger and you're still feeling like you want to still go out and party and have fun and mm-hmm. enjoy just the joy of life. Now, my group is transitioning into their 50s, and I've watched a lot of people do that. And some people feel that, okay, we're in our 50s, we're older, so we slow down, sex slows down, attraction slows down. Even, you know, you let your body go, you don't work out, you don't take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then there are those people like my wife and myself that say, no, that's not what you do.
Yep.
You keep doing, you learn and you evolve and you make a better version of an older version and a more seasoned version of who you are, and you keep your health at 100%, and you dial in the things that are good, and you keep dating each other and chasing each other and finding ways to make it creative and fun so that you're engaged with each other. And let me tell you, that's hard, especially when the man and the women are both so busy. And, you know, especially, you know, we're doctors, so we have all those other people we take care of along with our families. And my wife has her people she takes care of. You know, we call them tribes today, right? We all have our little tribes.
Yep.
Well, hell, man, by the time you get home, you're so busy after taking care of your tribes that you're like, listen, I just need to dial it down a notch. I don't need anybody to get into my place. And yet, when you ask these people, men and women, independently, how are things in the bedroom? They're like, it's okay, but it could be better, which means that they do want more.
Right.
So I guess what happens is we need to make as much attention on the sexuality of our partnerships as we do on the other things that are very important to us. And that takes work and that takes desire, you know?
Absolutely.
Sex to me has always been at the top of the list because it's what you do with the person you love.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it with anybody else. So you better sure as hell be having a good time with the one you're with, because I'm a monogamous guy. I'm committed. I'm married 28 years. You know, I knew that once I married, it was for life, you know, so there was never even a question of leaving my relationship, because mm-hmm. I knew that this was my woman and I knew I was her man and I wanted it that way. I needed to be in a matter of love that was literally, I needed to be with you till one of us goes. That's how I felt when I got married. And I was sure. So, you know, I'm a lifer. I am not going anywhere. My wife's not going anywhere. And we're happy that way, Doc. You know, we enjoy that. But I'll be completely honest. Life is so damn busy. And I'm involved with so many things that require my attention that I have to work hard to keep myself fresh for my wife so that I have a desire to go home and be intimate with her. It definitely takes a lot of work. Even when the love is there and the attraction is there, it still takes a hell of a lot of work, you know? But it's worth it if you're willing to do the work. It's like anything else, right?
Yep.
You make it a priority. Yeah.
It has to be. I hear the same thing from the women too. And I'm like you, I'll be married 30 years in May. So I'm a lifer. And
you're a lifer.
I'm a lifer. And I went into the marriage the same way. You know, this is my guy. This is, you know, this is someone I have known since I was 14. And we dated other people when we were younger. We didn't get together as a couple till we were older, but really, really liked each other when we were younger, but didn't have the guts to say anything, you know, that kind of thing. And, but it's hard, you know, anybody who thinks having a long-term relationship is easy is fooling themselves. You know, I have a daughter-in-law and a daughter, and they're both married. And we had this conversation, and we actually have this conversation with my mother-in-law, who's going to be married 60 years in May or in April next year. And we all say the same thing. Keeping a long-term relationship is not easy. There is constant change. There's constant struggle. There's constant challenges. But you're absolutely right. When it comes to sexuality, it's work. It's hard work. It's not something that comes easy. The thought that everybody thinks we should just magically know how to turn someone on or be great in the bedroom, that's a fallacy. When you ride a bike for the first time, you fall, right? And you get better as you keep doing it. And sex isn't any different. We just think we should automatically know it. And I think, you know, learning different things about spiritual sexuality and sacred sexuality and keeping that relationship fresh as you go in a longer season of your relationship has to be a priority if you want a good sex life. You can't just wish a great sex life into your marriage. It is work. Mm-hmm. And it's work beyond the bedroom, which a lot of people don't understand either. You know, it's that nurturing one another throughout the day. It's those nice little loving text messages that you get, or the nice little comments that you give each other, the pats on the back. You know, I hear so many couples say, well, I've been married for 20 years. Why do I have to tell him that he looks great? Or why do I have to tell him that I think he's sexy? Well, don't you like to be told that you're sexy and beautiful? You know, women have a lot of issues.
Right. And I mean, why do you think of the makeup industry as God knows how many hundreds of millions of or billions of dollars a year in sales? Because, and I'll be completely frank with you, I like a woman that looks like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I appreciate the fact that my wife does her hair, her makeup, puts on a pair of pumps, puts on a nice dress, and cares about how she looks to me. And she knows I'm just as vain as a woman is. I take care of myself. I like to look nice. I'm well combed. I'm shaved. I'm in a fresh shirt. Because I want my wife to be proud when she looks at me and say, wow, I made a good choice. This guy's actually growing old with grace. Because I believe in growing older with grace. And And as long as there's mutual respect, love, and attraction, the attraction, see, I think the attraction never goes away as long as you're attracted to the person that you're with, because the physical body can change. But I know for myself, as I've become wiser as a man and I've seasoned, I can't be attracted to a woman that I can't talk to. Like, thank God that I can talk to Nadine and we can actually play and laugh, because that's when I find her the most attractive, when we're engaged and we're communicating with each other. Of course she has a nice physique and I like looking at her, but if she wasn't nice and she wasn't sweet and she wasn't concerned for me and she didn't support me, I wouldn't go near her with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
And she wouldn't come anywhere near me if I was this guy barking out orders to her and saying, I want this, I want that, and never asking her, hey, honey, what could I do for you today? She'd probably look at me and say, duck your head, there's a dish coming your way any minute now. And that's the thing is, you know, and why shouldn't it be like that? Who the heck am I to think that I should have more attention than you should have as the woman in the relationship?
Exactly.
And I was smart enough to figure that out a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it just helped me evolve as a man. And I think that's the reason why my wife and I, we absolutely love each other, but we happen to like each other very much too.
Yeah.
Like, she's my best friend. I'm fortunate that my best friend happens to be my wife.
Yeah.
So now getting back to the core of where we started this conversation, what the hell does that have to all do with getting people well physically?
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah.
That's what women, especially younger women, need to know, because they're not as seasoned as you and I are. Mm-hmm. These young girls that are so concerned about looking their best, and believe me, I appreciate that.
You bet.
But if you're, and this is all about what I talk about, nobody should compromise. Nobody should be suppressed or repressed or told they can't do anything. And if you're with a man that's doing that to you, just at the sake of being to say, I have a man, you're with the wrong man.
Yeah.
If you as a woman constantly find yourself putting yourself second to your man who has to always be elevated first, and it's never reciprocated, to me, that's a dangerous relationship. And you're going to be sick. You're not going to get well. Your immune system's going to go down. You're going to have a hard time with fertility. You're going to have depression, anxiety. You're not going to be the best you can be. And you'll take all the pills and potions in the world. And I don't care what anybody says. If you're not happy loving yourself and looking at your own body image and your own spiritual image and not making it the best you can be, you will never come out of the funk that you're in. And I'm sorry to say that, but that is the truth.
You are absolutely right. It really takes that toll to look within and see what you have and try to work at figuring out what it is you want and then deciding if that's the place that you can stay. Because you're absolutely right. If you stay in that unhealthy space, you will continue to get more chronic illness, whether it's hormone imbalance, God forbid, cancer, because we see that all the time with women stuffing their feelings and their hormones and their voice.
Yeah.
You're going to be in that really horrible, horrible place.
Yes. So that's, I mean, you talk about the doctor of the future.
Yes.
The doctor of the future will be able to guide a person, and you could do it just the way we're doing it right now, through conversation.
Right.
And actually engage a person to make a decision to say, listen, you've been doing the same pattern for the last 10 years, and you've had ulcers for 10 years.
Yeah.
Which means that you can't digest what it is that you're dealing with. That's why your stomach is rotting, because you're physically making yourself ill, because you're choking down an emotion that you won't confront. Yeah. So as soon as the woman confronts the emotion of what's causing her to choke, mm-hmm. the stomach pain goes away, the stomach acid normalizes, the stomach cells heal, and all of a sudden she's like, wow, I don't have any more pain anymore in my stomach. I'm no longer bloated, have gas, have, you know, reflux. How did that happen? I said, because you healed yourself.
Right.
Because you got rid of the garbage that was making you sick in the first place. Mm-hmm. And now you support with good nutrition, healthy lifestyle, proper food, everything that we already know to do, because most of us know all this stuff.
Right.
But it's making it work that is the secret. You know, getting it to actually work around a healthy version of you on a spiritual and emotional level that will support, I call it a meat suit. You know, you could support your meat suit when your meat suit is being fed properly through the spirit, the mind, and the body. But to just think that you're a physical lump of flesh and you're not those other things, you're missing the boat, and your flesh will rot if your spirit is not joyful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very important.
Very important.
Yeah.
So when you work with a client, where do you want them to start when they're looking at restoring hormones from a holistic approach?
Right. So I broke it down into four simple methods. And again, I designed the method that I use for people I'll never meet, you know, because I have my patients that come in to see me and they could do a good old fashioned examination using nutrition response testing or using labs or using all the traditional stuff. But what about the woman that lives in, I don't know, New Mexico? Right. That I'll never be able to have in my office. And they, because they called and said, well, what could you do for me? So I ended up, I was tired of repeating myself, you know, over and over. So I just put it into a book format. So my take into the physical is to go through the adrenals to start, because that's where stress comes from.
Correct.
We know that 85 to 92% of all diagnosed illness is stress related. We know that from Harvard and Yale studies. So that's just complete science. The question is, how do you define stress? Right? Is it just physical stress? Yes, it can be. Is it emotional stress? Yes. How about biochemical stress? How about the environment? How about 5G? How about, you know, all the things we're all talking about that we know about? People like, I'm too overwhelmed. Okay, the chemicals and my cosmetics and the fluoride in my toothpaste and the chlorine in my water. The list is endless, right? So what I did is I said, well, let's first talk about stress being the priority. Let's have you do an adrenal survey. Let's see if you have adrenal stress. Let's give you some adrenal questions. So I have ladies fill out, and I'm thumbing through it while I'm talking to you. So I created a women's survey to determine possible stressors, and it's basically 16 sections mm-hmm. broken down by different areas. And depending on how they check the boxes, we know which way in to go, Doc. So that, you know, is it low adrenal function? Is it hypothyroidism? Is it immune problems, toxicity to the liver? Is it a you know, an immune challenge through autoimmune disease? Is it a physical stress, gut problems, gluten intolerance, parasites? Like, if you could just check boxes and not know anything about medicine, and you see that you check every box for parasites, mm-hmm. you're going to know that probably the way in for you is going to be something parasitically oriented. So that helps a lot of women, because a lot of women are going to their medical physicians, and the medical physicians are not asking them these questions.
Right.
Don't you know that you know, you go in, you get 7 minutes with a nurse practitioner if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. You don't even see the doctor. This is the average office visit in a medical facility. 7 minutes with the nurse practitioner. Symptoms are written down, passed over to the doctor. Doctor writes a script, and out the door they go.
Yep.
That's it. Hell, man, I take an hour with a new patient.
Yeah.
It takes an hour to get to know somebody, and even that's not enough time, but we limit it to an hour because we know we can make a decent clinical decision in an hour. But right. if I don't meet them up front, I have them check boxes, mm-hmm. and then I could read over the paperwork and say, hey, listen, you know, based on what I see here, Mary, I think you're leaning towards having an adrenal problem. You have the five major symptoms of adrenal stress, and no doctor ever told her what those five symptoms were, and she needs to know that.
Yeah.
Because there are things that women are taking, you know, antidepressants for, you know, pills to lose weight, pills to sleep, pills to drive their libido, and, yeah. you know, helping with sinus and allergy problems. That's all adrenal stress.
Right.
So I like that as the way in, because that's going to cover 92% of people that we talk to. So that's how I start. So depending on where that goes and that conversation goes, then I know which way to go in. And then if the person is going to work with me, then I want to talk about the Mother Teresa syndrome second. Mm-hmm. Because now I need to know, where's this woman's head at?
Yeah.
You know, so maybe she's a physically hugely powerful woman, but she's emotionally wrecked. Mm-hmm. Well, that woman's going to be sick. So, you know, she might say, yeah, I don't really have any symptoms at all. I sleep, but I just feel terrible. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You can't not have a problem and feel terrible.
Right.
So it ends up, it's her suppressive husband who beats her every week mm-hmm. that you finally get to. And she's sitting there as a good wife, not wanting to say anything. And this guy is beating up on her, and she's trying to do what's best for her kids, but she's the punching bag.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the problem then. So really the physical is really not the problem. The problem is the husband who treats her like a punching bag.
Yeah.
And that's where Mother Teresa syndrome comes in, because then as we get into a discussion about that, then I go into, okay, Mary, so I want you to look at these questions and tell me where you fit into this. And the questions go into things like, you know, where do you compromise in your life? You know, where, and it's listing specific things, specific points where, you know, a woman compromised on a job she wanted, or she compromised on a relationship, or she compromised on how long she wanted to work every day. She was only supposed to work 8 hours a day. Now she's working 12.
Yeah.
So she compromised 4 hours of her life again, or she compromises on sleep. She's like, I'll sleep on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I'll stay up till 3 a.m. and just pass out for 3 hours and wake up and go all over again. You can't do that, you know. But women, they become robotic and they just go into a phase and they just go for years.
Yeah.
So we have to back them up and check that with them. And then we have to change all those pictures and self-image through programming, like where they can rewrite themselves a solution so that they're, and again, this is another topic for another discussion, which I would love to have with you in the future. I know I'm programmed, you know, that's a completely different realm, but I'm programmed to think a certain way. And I have to debug myself so I could be a better man, husband, doctor, father, community member. And I did have to debug myself. But a lot of women are not debugging. They're just kind of doing the same thing year after year, hoping that things will get better. But they're deteriorating because they're using themselves as a punching bag. And they're not doing what they want for themselves. So I kind of take them through all that after we start that process. And then it just evolves further and further.
That's awesome. I love that. You know, I love that you're addressing both the emotional side and the physical side and really bringing those two things together so women can understand how that connects. Because without that, they won't heal to the ability that they want to heal and be that amazing, balanced, loving woman that's just kicking ass in life, but loving every minute of it and not aging themselves into a disease that's going to be very difficult for them to recover from down the road.
Absolutely.
Great.
I've experienced it myself, you know, in my own world. I noticed that when I know I'm doing something right when I'm happy, mm-hmm. even when I'm working, you know, 12, 14 hour days and, you know, there's no breathing space. But if I wake up smiling and I go home and I'm smiling, I don't care if I feel tired because I know I'm happy.
Right.
It's when I'm not smiling that I have to say, okay, Tom, you need to back up, brother. You're doing something wrong here. Right. You got so many irons in the fire, but you're not happy, then you're doing something wrong. And then I'll back myself up and go, okay, I made a left turn where I should have made a right. Mm-hmm. And I'll check myself, or I'll ask my wife, I'm like, honey, what am I doing? I don't see it. Tell me what you see, sweetie. And then she'll go, well, this is what I've noticed, or this is what. And usually she's right because she knows me just as well as I know me, you know, and you know when your spouse is on and you know when your spouse is off.
Yep. And I think that's just such a great comment to make because, you know, it's not that we have to give up all the things that we want to do in life. The key is that we have to be happy doing them. And at some point, if we're not happy doing them, that's when we take the step back and say, okay, maybe I did want this a year ago, but now I don't. And because maybe I want this over here, or I've decided it's not what I thought it was going to be. You know, it is okay for us to change our course of action throughout our life when we're not getting our cups filled up from what we're doing anymore.
I agree. And the only way that I feel very confident that I'm correct in this is using myself as the Petri dish. Because everything I'm talking about, I did to myself over my lifetime. Mm-hmm. So I would never ask you to do something that I'm not doing on myself. So everything I've talked about, I've done. I've written up my programs. I've done my adrenals. I've healed my own body. I've run my labs on myself. And this is what I can say happened as a result of that. Since the age of 19, after I cured myself from emotional illness that I was told I was a manic depressive and hospitalized for 7 weeks in an institution, that's another whole story that we can talk about on another time. But that was my way of understanding life. I saved my own life from mental illness, mm-hmm. and I healed my own mind when they were drugging me up the wazoo and the drugs weren't working and I was actually deteriorating. And I realized enough at 19 to save my own life. I swore off any drug at 19. Mm-hmm. And I haven't taken a prescribed drug in 36 years. And I also haven't been to a medical physician in 36 years. And I haven't been sick. I've been in practice 28 years. I've never taken a sick day. In 28 years of practice, I haven't been sick. Wow. So people go, but that's not, that's not normal. I go, well, it's my normal.
Right.
I said, because my reality might be a little different than yours, because I know that when I'm resonating at all 12 cylinders for Tom, I can't get sick. Mm-hmm. Because I know that I'm coming from, because I know that it's the natural state for us to be well and to feel well and to evolve to a healthier state of wellness. That is the norm. It's just not common anymore because we're all beaten up by life.
Right.
So I have niched out something for me that helps me keep myself in check. So when I do get tired and I know that I'm not happy and I'm getting a little cranky, all right, that's it. I need a 2-hour massage. I'll get on the phone, call a massage therapist. I'm like, I'm out. I'm going in. I need to decompress. Mm-hmm. Or, all right, guys, we're going on a 3-day weekend. No phones, no internet, no nothing. We're leaving. I said, I'll go by myself, but I'm going. You want to come? Get in the car. Otherwise, I'm going. And I go and I read and I reflect and I shut everything down. And then I come back and I'm 10 times better. I learned how to do that. And I don't compromise. Like, I won't live or be in a practice I don't want. I won't hang out with people I don't like. I won't, because those people will make me sick.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's my own family, unfortunately, you know, and my wife has experienced the same thing with her family. I mean, her family was incredibly toxic to her for many, many years. And I watched her try to solve it. And I was encouraging her to try to fix it, because I have a nice family of my own. We don't really have too many problems. And she says, honey, you can't fix these people. Yeah. They don't want to be fixed. Mm-hmm. So my poor wife was the white sheep, and everybody else was a black sheep. Mm-hmm. She was the only white sheep in the family, so she was the black sheep being a white sheep. So they drove her bananas. And then finally she says, like, around at age 40, she's like, I've had it, honey, I'm done. I can't do it. So she cut them off.
Good for her.
As soon as she did that, I'll tell you, Doc, she blossomed. Everything just, like, exactly what you said, like, whoosh. Yep. No more health ailments, mm-hmm. No more fatigue. No more crankiness. Our relationship got better. She started doing things that she was dreaming of doing. You know, she just started evolving into this awesome version of herself. And, you know, that was 17 years ago. So mm-hmm. She's just having a ball.
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
You know, we still have a lot of stuff on our plate like everybody else, you know, because my mom is aging. So now I'm helping to take care of my mom. And so I have my mom above me, and I have my kids that still need me. So mm-hmm. I get it from both ends, the mother, father, as well as the kids. And I'm in the middle right now, and that's fine, because I'm good at juggling a lot of stuff, and I love my family. But I get tired. I definitely get tired. But I know when it's time to say, listen, I'm out, guys. I got to get out for a while.
Yeah.
And I'll take care of my head and my heart so I can come back and give my wife 10 times more. And let me tell you, man, I like to call that positive selfishness. I like selfish. I'm a big fan of selfish.
Yep.
Selfish is not a bad word. I was raised that selfish is a bad word. Mm-hmm. You know, in the church, they raised us that being selfish is wrong.
Right.
I disagree with the church. I have a different version, because we have a church in my office here that believes that selfishness is right. So I want you to be selfish for you, and I want to be selfish for me. And when I'm selfish for me, I'm always smiling and happy. And I think that's another important part of Happily Ever Now.
Yeah.
You must be selfish.
That's great. So Tom, tell us, if any of our listeners are really resonating with you, which I am sure they are, and they can connect and they can understand where they're coming from and you could be a great fit for them, how do they become one of your patients? What's the best way for them to do that?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. So assuming that most of the women listening are not in my community, mm-hmm. there's a couple of ways, and we're creating this for the women that want this. So my suggestion would be, if a woman wants to be a patient from a distance, best way to start is to get you a copy of my workbook, which you could buy a hard copy for $99, or you can get an ebook for $29 and get it right on Amazon and just download it. I like physical paper because I write in my book. Like I like to write, it's designed to be written in like a workbook. It's got a spiral edge to it, so you can turn the pages, flip it over, write on it. And I like the women to write right in it. But then the other thing that I created is online courses where we could actually go through the book together. Because what I found is women are always about getting the book, but then they get the book and it ends up on a coffee table as a coaster, and nobody cracks it. Right. And it's under 100 pages, by the way, but it's just very intense from the first page. So it's not a light book. It's a book where you're like, all right, I want to rip into my head today and go into my heart and find out how to fix myself. So you have to be prepared to work. It's not something you just sit and you read like, you know, like a romance novel at night while you're lying in bed. This is actually like for work. So that's how I start them. I get them the workbook, and then they can order the workbook and they can self-teach. And most of them end up, I'd say about 70% end up calling and saying, okay, listen, I can't do this by myself. It's too much. Mm-hmm. I'm finding I'm overwhelmed with the amount of work. So then I'll put them onto a course, and I've created courses that are very, very cost efficient that we can work as a group. And on those group courses, they can sign on to a webinar. We spend an hour or two on the phone going through these different sections, talking about it. And then they can go from there, and they can work at home in between. And then we get together every once in a while, same thing, and go through another section. So I kind of like that idea because you work at any pace you want. And then, of course, if you need individual attention, that's when women hire me individually, and then we work out individual, VIP courses where it's just she and I, intimate, one-on-one, hitting everything, going deep, deep into it, and then giving her solutions. Mm-hmm. And those solutions are a combination of physical, biochemical, nutritional, lifestyle, all the things that you talk to your ladies about as well, you know, because we do very similar things, you and I.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'll tell you, I think the real secret behind all this stuff is your relationship with yourself. I mean, I have committed more miracles for women by helping them see what the hell they're doing to themselves, where they can't see it. And then all of a sudden, you get to a section in the book and they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, I have a brother that's been dumping on me for 40 years, and every time I talk to him, I throw up. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You've been throwing up for 40 years every time you talk to your brother? Oh, yeah, every time I see him, I throw up. Seriously, you've been throwing up for – and they, like, think that's okay. And I'm like, wait a minute. Do you realize you're rotting your whole GI system because you're throwing up every time you throw – so I once I find that itch, man, do I scratch that thing. I go in there, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Now we have to start, we have to go in there because that's the way for you. And then when you fix that itch and they confront this crazy brother, all of a sudden they come back and go, oh yeah, I started sleeping again. Oh yeah, by the way, I cut back on my antidepressant medication. I'm not depressed anymore. Yeah, I don't know why. All of a sudden I don't want to eat junk food. Oh yeah, and by the way, I started having sex with my husband again. I have no idea why. And I'm like, wow, okay. So apparently we need to get your brother out of the way. And it's amazing to me how there's always a core. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how this goes. So it's a similar path, but it's unique to every person I ever talk to, because I never know where you're going to take me.
Right.
And that's kind of what I do with these women I work with. So that's kind of how it would work.
That's awesome.
I think the simplest thing, sorry to keep going around, but simplest thing is, I would say, you pick up a book, you open it up, you start reading it, you see what resonates with you, and you start working on yourself. And then you can go into different levels if you want to. It's the simplest way, and it's such a minimal amount of money to spend and time. But there's so much value in this workbook, so I kind of like that.
That's awesome. I love that. So for all of our listeners out there who've heard Dr. Tom, we will post all of his website, his links, his books to the podcast page. So if you didn't catch them, that's okay. Just go to the podcast page and you can find him, and it'll take you directly to him. I hope for any of you that are resonating with him, please reach out to him. He's an amazing guy, amazing doc. You will do wonderful things with him. Dr. Tom, thanks for being on this show. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else you want to share with any of our listeners today?
Yes, I wanted to share how much I enjoy what you do. So I've had the pleasure of listening to at least 5 of your podcasts to kind of catch up with you, Doc. Doc and I met in Colorado a few months back, and we instantly resonated with each other. I think we spent 3 hours talking over dinner the first night. I think we spent more time laughing than talking. But I love your message, Dr. Deborah. I love the fact that you're helping women retain their sexuality and femininity, because they have told me they don't know how to do it either.
Yeah.
And I even watched my wife struggle with that, because my wife is an executive as well as my wife. And she's so passionate about what she does that she sometimes forgets to drop that hat at the office. So she comes home and she's talking to me like I'm one of her staff, or like I'm one of her, you know, I'm like, honey, hi, it's me. Can you like, and listen, I'm guilty of the same thing. I have a hard time taking off my Dr. Tom Ionello hat. So I'm always trying to shut that off too and just be Tom. Mm-hmm. But we need to merge those concepts together. That's why I like talking to you so much, because it's such a beautiful marriage of the two concepts that we could probably exponentially help women on a higher level without us even realizing how much we're doing. Just by what we discussed today, I think we helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in that feeling of helping people on a larger level.
Absolutely.
That was what I wanted to say.
Oh, that is so great. Well, thank you again for being on our show. We definitely have to have you back. There's so many topics we can talk about. I'm sure you need to get off to a busy day, so I will let you do that. And we will touch in soon, very soon.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Deborah. Thank you for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Take care.
Hi, listeners. It's Dr. Deb again. If you do like the podcast and you want to support us, please go ahead and share it, rate it, and review it. And of course, tell your friends. We love hearing from you, and we'd love to get some more of your feedback. If you're interested in working with me, whether it's health coaching or trying one of my health programs, please do reach out to us. We'd love to chat with you. There's contact information on our website, Let's Talk Wellness Now, where you can get in touch with me. We'll see you next time.